All right, everybody, this is Kyle Sasser, Great Things Tampa Bay, and I'm here with Jimmy Murray, who I'm going to let introduce himself.
Thank you, Kyle. Hey, I'm Jimmy Murray, a recent resident of the Tampa Bay area. I love it here in Tampa Beach City, right? I'm a Twitter, Instagrammer, blogger, comedian. I do video game commentary for local nonprofits in the area, and I dabble a little bit into the artificial intelligence scene, which is really going to reshape the Tampa Bay area, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yep, and we are here at the Attic in downtown Tampa, and we're actually one floor above Tampa Wave, which, do you know what Tampa Wave is?
That is correct. It is a startup incubator. Basically, what that means is if you're a Mark Zuckerberg and you've built kind of your minimal viable product, your new software service, or your product, or anything that can make like $1 million or $1 billion pretty easily, you pitch your idea to the Tampa Bay Wave. They give you some offices. You make the product better, and you start pitching to more investors, and you get your Series A and your Series B funding. So it's basically it's how you get the seed money to make yourself a billionaire.
Yeah, it's good. This is a good follow on into the startup bus episode I just released. So. Recent transplant to Tampa. How long have you been here?
I've been here since April of 2017, so that would put me, I think, at about 16 months.
All right, and I feel like you definitely have kind of hit the ground running here with all wheels spinning. Like, you kind of taken off a little bit.
That is correct. I came here with no job prospects. My wife has the lovely luxury of being able to work from home, and so we got here and moved into our little two bedroom apartment. And I had nothing, so I was like, "Well, I'm gonna explore the things that I've wanted to do." And it was all part of an email that I'd sent to Lenovo, my previous employer. I'm gonna try Twitch. I'm gonna try YouTube. I'm gonna try blogging. I'm gonna try podcasting, and I did. And I'm gonna try AI. I did all of these things just to stay busy, to keep my mind away from the dark, depressing, "I'm not contributing to society" kind of thoughts. And I did what I had to, to maintain that pace.
All right, good. So what occupies your days currently?
Right now, mainly the kid-friendly network. I'm the voice actor and narrator on Chris Kremitzos' kid-friendly podcast network. We have six shows: Joke of the Day, Animal Fun Facts, Dinosaur Fun Facts, History Fun Facts, Geography Fun Facts, and Disney, get this, Fun Facts.
I see a trend. All right, so take us, let's just pick the first one that you did, and just tell the listeners what it's about, what you do, like who the target audience is, like what the idea is.
So clearly, it's in the title, Joke of the Day. So we do three puns targeting around 7 to 13-year-olds, people who are kind of learning what humor is, but maybe wouldn't get like the deeper humor of stand up or improv. And so we pick a topic, and then I scour the internet for influence and inspiration, and then I attach my own spin so that it always has my own voice and authorship on it, and then we publish and release, and we're up to, I think we just crossed the 45,000 download mark yesterday. We had like 700 people listen to our show yesterday. It was fantastic.
Yeah. So for those of you that aren't aware, that is a very impressive number of downloads, and because you've only been doing this for how long?
Since the end of April, and for a show that's, you heard me say it's three jokes, so it literally takes a minute.
Yeah, so that's absolutely astounding. I promise you that Great Things Tampa Bay is nowhere near that. Someday, I'm going to get to that listenership, but currently not. So do you enjoy doing that?
It's a blast. I get to put on my resume that I write jokes, and I upload them, publish them. I do all the editing. I actually write scripts to assist me with all that. So I get to say that I've done like 8 or 9 different things. So if anybody ever needs me on like an EP, if you're there 11 o'clock news hour looking at you, WTSP, then,
Action News 28, heads up.
This is Jimmy Murray for Action News 28.
So you mentioned Chris Kremitzos, who I think I've also mentioned on the podcast. Can you give us a rundown of who he is and kind of what he does here in Tampa Bay?
Chris Kremitzos is your focal. He's the Tampa Bay connector. He is well versed into many aspects of business. His wife has a very lovely podcast, and he's a wealth of knowledge and resources. And his big claim to fame is the, it's not called Podfest Expo. Oh my gosh, Podfest Multimedia Expo. Gosh, there it is. Which he has in Orlando every year, and it's the great unificator. It has the biggest podcast family. We attract people as far as Australia.
Yeah. And I went to the one last year. This year there's thousands of people there.
Oh yeah, it was a blast, and I had so much fun meeting everybody and displaying off my little simple business card. I was rushed to make it, and so it was just like this courier font. It's just Jimmy, like in typewriter font, Jimmy period. And
people, yeah, you should have went with Comic Sans.
I see what you did there. I did a facial expression at first, and then I realized I'm on a podcast, so it didn't translate well.
There you go, there you go. So you do the podcast, and obviously it's geared for, you know, kids, jokes. Tell us about your background in comedy.
When I was 16 years old, I moved to North Carolina in pursuit of just a better life, which is... Wow, that's very dramatic. But yeah, I moved in with my dad, who said, I'm going to get you started in stand-up and improv classes. So Raleigh happens to be the home of what used to be a very big comedy club, one of the top 10 comedy clubs, as voted by USA Today back in 2001. So I should probably stop saying that it's a top 10 comedy club. But I started taking stand-up classes there, and then a nearby club, Comedy Sports, which changed its name to Comedy Works, was my improv resource. So all throughout high school and through most of college, I was doing stand-up on Wednesday and improv on Saturdays.
Yeah, that's pretty that's a pretty hectic schedule. So you do comedy, and you do the podcast, and you do some voiceover work too. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so I'm involved in several Facebook groups, and whenever somebody needs needs somebody to act out as a character, I hadn't had a lot to do during the day. I was like, so I'll do my best to be this guy from Atlanta who's a garbage picker or whatever, and so here, does this sound right? And he's like, no, that's perfect. People are really, I thought the audio community would be very discerning about the way I act out voices, but as long as you commit to an accent or a dialect, people are very forgiving.
Yeah, keep it consistent.
That is correct.
Yeah, and we do have some other podcasters here who are in the fictional realm. I forget what that's called. What's, you know, that category?
I believe the term you're looking for is audio drama.
That's the one. Yeah. So we do have two or three of them. I've been trying to get them to come to the meeting, because we don't have everyone right. That's there is usually like non-fictional. You know, like there's the cancer guy, the computer guy, the real estate guy, the Tampa guy, which is me. But we're the audio drama section is really underrepresented at the Florida Podcasters Association. So if you're listening to this and you know who you are and you do an audio drama, please come out to the meeting.
What amazes me is that...
And also hire Jimmy to do some voices.
Absolutely. I can do your bassy voices. I can do kind of your higher pitch voices. And I have a little bit of a good falsetto. I can be a British nanny. Wow, that was painful. I'm so sorry.
We're putting that on the resume.
There it is. I can be Miss Beakley from the old DuckTales. There it is. Audio drama as a genre, podcast lends itself to that, and the accessibility of all the tools and resources supporting the ecosystem, it's really poised to become a number one thing. So if you have an idea that you've waited to execute and you're scared to do it, just we're in the no excuses part of the curve of creating stories and dramas, so just do it.
Yep. And yeah, basically, for those that don't know, an audio drama is basically a radio, like the old radio soap operas. So it's kind of all come back full circle to the original radio storytelling with the sound effects and, you know, the creaky doors and the coconut clops.
Kyle, do you remember an old cartoon called Gerald McBoing Boing?
Nope, I do not.
Okay, so it's voted one of the 50 top cartoons of all time, but it's a cartoon character that can only speak in sound effects. And so when you said that, that's just what it reminds me of. By the end of that episode, that is his job. He's got like $1 million radio show. But he's bullied at the beginning, which I guess in our current state of cyberbullying is kind of relevant, but we don't have to talk about that.
Yeah. Well, two nerds, we can relate.
Ha. Yes.
You're a nerd, right? And you're wearing a Mario shirt, I just assume. Sorry. I'm sorry to presume.
Did you assume my nerdiness? Philosophically, Kyle, I've always defined a nerd as somebody who's heavily involved in math, and a geek as somebody really just in some sort of fandom or mythos. So the Mario, yes, would really describe me as a geek, but I did open saying that I'm into artificial intelligence, so nerd me up, man.
Yep, which, excellent segue, by the way. So tell us a little about the artificial intelligence, and then I'm going to ask you some questions on it.
Absolutely. As I was working at Lenovo, I automated my job away because I figured that copying and pasting data between Excel spreadsheets was boring, and I could probably...
And Lenovo, for those who don't know, is...
It's a big laptop corporation. They started in China, and their headquarters right now on the American side is in Raleigh, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And from there, so after I automated all my work, I didn't have a lot to do except to automate other people's works, and then they didn't have a lot to do. So we spent a lot of time at the or at the coffee counter, either on our floor or downstairs, and I started studying artificial intelligence. I started noticing a distinct pattern in the way I wrote jokes, and I thought there might be some kind of mathematical relationship, or at least some way to where I didn't have to ideate things from the back of my head, because that's really the hardest part for me is creating material from nothing. So that sent me down a rabbit hole into Udacity, which is resources for you can use for deep learning. So artificial intelligence at a high level is just a bunch of complicated math that allows for you to, instead of writing a series of if-then statements, you let the computer figure that out. Mm-hmm. And I have not fully automated comedy yet, but I believe I found the vector I want to go on. Right now, the hardest part is the data wrangling phase, which is the phase one of any artificial intelligence project.
Yep. You have to feed the beast.
That is correct, and the comedy is huge.
So your artificial intelligence work is mainly centered around like comedy and language and that sort of thing?
That is correct. I mostly use what's called natural language processing. It's abbreviated NLP for short, and my favorite library is NLTK, which stands for... I think it's a natural tool language kit. I want to say that's what it stands for. But basically, there's a number... As these projects are going online, people are writing APIs for them. Somebody wrote a Python library called RhymeBrain, which automatically finds what's called a portmanteau, which is where you take... If a word ends the way as another word begins, you smush them together. So most people call it a smush, right? And so somebody wrote a library for that. Google wrote Word2Vec, which it maps out the relationships between words, and you can actually use it like... It'll if you want the female version of a king, it'll actually pump out queen. So really it's a matter of either writing your own tools or finding what's already out there.
Yeah. And there's been a lot of interesting work going on in this sector. Like I know that they have artificial intelligence that will write like baseball box scores. Like they will interpret a game and tell you like what they'll write the story about what's happened in the game.
It's amazing that you say that, Kyle, because like I had been doing fantasy football for a number of years. And I noticed copyright automated analytics. They would take everybody's scores and they would like rate you like you're the worst fantasy in the world or something. And it was reverse engineering. I'm like, no, this is genius. There is absolutely a way to predefine all these relationships between all the scores and the stats and to qualitatively say you suck at football and here's your sucky football player.
Like, hey, you should probably find a new hobby.
Yeah, right.
So obviously writing jokes, a little bit of a niche thing.
Absolutely.
Do you have a name for your artificial intelligence bot? Is that the right term?
Sure. I've been calling it the very self-serving Jimmy in the short term, kind of the...
Is it Jimmy with the one?
It's Jimmy with a one. That is correct. All lowercase.
I just guessed, but that's awesome.
And it's kind of like the Beatle. What do you call your haircut? I call it Arthur, you know, kind of thing. It's like, I don't know.
So has Jimmy written a joke yet?
Jimmy has not written a joke yet. I didn't realize how huge of an undertaking I was getting into when I started this. At this point, all it's done is refine the way I write humor, which is a good start. But yeah. The biggest issue is teaching a computer what the outputs need to be, and for that I need a bunch of inputs, and I just realized the method that I want to use to go forward with that. The fundamental thing of artificial intelligence is that it relies on a series of probabilities, and when you have, I guess, a setup or a premise of your joke, it actually can go a multitude of ways. And one of the issues with artificial intelligence is that what you want is like a 99.9% match rate as you're getting your inputs and outputs and your relationships mapped out. If you have 100%, something's gone wrong. But like, what happens is if I put why did the chicken cross the road and it just returned like a series of exclamation marks, like that's not funny. Or every joke has the punchline to get to the other side. Like I did something wrong when I taught this computer how to write comedy. So.
Has it kicked out anything like unusual or hilarious?
If it kicked out something hilarious, I think I would be a billionaire right now. The most unusual thing that it kicked out, it was amazing. It was like, why did the ocean wave? And the thing returned like, because it was a flag. And I'm like, oh, well, I see why you did that. But it's not the best punchline. But there you have it.
It put a link together between like a flag waving and a ocean wave.
Absolutely, the synapses were there just to. The contextual relationships of comedy is what makes writing a comedy bot so hard.
Yeah. And it's true. Like, if you listen to any sort of comedy, you know that one of the hardest things is to be sort of like a foreign comedian. Like, because that intrinsic knowledge of language is one of the main things that makes comedy comedy.
That is correct. The rules that make comedy work in the English language are going to be completely different in a different foreign language. The way we make puns, a pun for us, like the number four and the preposition four, right? It's not going to work.
And like, the reason Germans are so unfunny is because their language is so exacting. Sorry, that might have been a little racist.
It's funny you bring that up, because Germans do not consider themselves funny. And there is a lot to that. Like, the way their words and syntax links does not lend itself to hilarity. So you'll find Germans more based in the visual space, which is fine, which is okay.
It has its own appeal.
Yes.
But we're not talking about people with lampshades on their head here. Talk about language. Sorry, had to go to the trope.
There it is.
Cool. Alrighty. Well, Jimmy, anything else going on in your life? Any shout-outs? Any requests?
Any requests? Freebird, I guess, is the go-to, right? Anything else that's going on? Just the Twitter and Instagram stuff. I'm doing a happiness campaign, so
you were nominated for Best of the Bay.
Yeah, who did that? That was amazing. Creative Loafing. I've been nominated for best sports writer, which I think I put that one in myself. My bad. Best blogger. So I've been putting out onion style articles on Medium.com because
some satire. A very difficult topic now. That's a very difficult craft nowadays.
Yes, it's so hard to find topics for satire. Well, so for me, the difficulty is remaining politically neutral. The way I built kind of my brand is that I'm the peacemaker, and you always go to Jimmy because you know he's not gonna make.
Well, you can't have like the kid friendly deep state rant.
Challenge considered.
the kid friendly InfoWars excerpts.
Right. Sure. Well then, yes, I'm a blog. I've been voted best blogger and best sports blogger. I did write a hockey book many years ago, nothing Tampa based, and full disclosure, I am a Washington Capitals fan, but caveat on that.
It's a dicey time to be a Capitals fan down here.
Asterix. So last year, 2017, after the Capitals were in a rare form trounced in the second round, I tweeted to Tampa Bay Lightning and to Jeff Finnick, hey, I'm requesting a fan trade, so we need to get this to happen. And nothing came of that, so I was like, I guess I'll be a Capitals fan for another year. And there I was in the country of Italy. They've lost one game, they've lost two games, they've lost three games. Okay, well, the conference finals were fun. That's all I needed. And then they pulled the stunner. What encourages me is that hey, I'm still willing to be fan traded. So if that's something you guys want to do, let's make it happen. I would prefer it to be kind of public, though, obviously. The Lightning have a solid team this year. I think the only potential enemy they have in getting to the cup would be Toronto on the east side, and then maybe the Vegas Golden Knights again, although I think what we'll see from them is kind of the Super Bowl thing, like the loser doesn't do so well the next year.
It was a bit of a swan song with them coming in.
Yeah, so I think the Lightning are going to win the cup next year, and it would just light me up to be a part of that fan base. I really like what I can't remember what section they're in. I want to say 328, but that's where the Carolina Hurricanes sassy section sits. But there's a group of people called, Kyle, the Sticks of Fire. And for me, it's like they just MST3K the snot out of games. I'm like, that's where I need to be. I need to be sitting with them.
Yeah, there you go.
Shaking my thunder stick and making fun of everything that's going on. I think I would have just a great role there. So, yes.
Having some words with Thunderbug.
Absolutely. So let's I think it's 331, but I might be wrong. The Sticks, I want to sit with the Sticks of Fire. I want to make fun of the game. I want to do commentary with you guys. I want to be a season ticket holder at the Tampa Bay Lightning. The Capitals finally won their cup, so I don't, and I live in Tampa now, so there's like no reason for me to be a DC fan. I'm gonna go there to watch them raise the banner, but 2 days later, home opener, I want to be in the front row.
There you go. Sticks of Fire, make it happen.
Yeah, so if any Sticks of Fire out there, let's
at least a guest spot.
But Absolutely, absolutely. Short term, just I'm doing the 100 Days of Happiness, so I can cosplay as one character. His name's Ness. He's from, most people know him from Super Smash Brothers, but he was actually in a game before that called Earthbound, which nobody played, so that's okay.
I played it.
Oh, okay. Okay, so...
It was on an emulator, though. I didn't buy it. It was too expensive for me to get for Christmas.
I understand this. Also, 10 points to Gryffindor. Good night. Okay, that's amazing. I'm doing the Happiness campaign because, you know, it's a fun little play on words, and it was a great way. It was a very easy way for me to create Instagram content, which, really, right now, Twitter isn't doing so hot. Facebook isn't doing so hot. Instagram's where I need to be, and being that it's not... It is picture-based. I need to focus on more visual puns and visual comedies.
All right, so if you like what you heard today, where can they find you at? Or Sticks of Fire, where can you get a hold of Jimmy at?
If you want to tweet to me, it's at TheJimmyMurray. On Instagram, it's at AWildJimmyAppeared. And you can email me at talktojimmymurray@gmail.com. And you can send me a Facebook request if you want. That'd be cool, too.
And that's all going to be in the show notes as well. So, because we're friends on all those platforms, so.
That's awesome.
Last question, where's your favorite place to eat and why?
My favorite place to eat is Thai Five, because you get a ton of food for the price, and they don't hold back on spices. Most of the time when you get Asian restaurants, they have what's called the foreigner spice, and they have the Asian spice, because us people here in America, we just can't handle it. But if you ask them for what a normal Thai person would eat, they will give it to you handily. So they hold no punches. It's a great atmosphere. The people that work there are so friendly. They get to know you on a personal level. Mm-hmm. And it keeps my zen.
So Thai Fi, where is that located at?
That's going to be at El Prado and Mabry.
All right. So South Tampa?
South Tampa, yeah.
All right. So we'll give them a shout out too. Sure. Jimmy, thanks so much. It's been a pleasure.
This is great.
All right. Thanks, everybody.